Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Welcome to the series, A Woman After God's Heart. How to specifically be intentional in our lifelong journey of pursuing God so we can have a never-ending impact on what lasts for all eternity. Here we go with the introduction. Let's start with some questions for ourselves. What's most important to me? Who is of greatest significance to me? Is it God? Does my life declare the goodness and greatness of my God? Or am I continually sidetracked and forget about walking with God? Am I too busy pursuing other things or even the necessary, and thus I don't have time for God? At best, He gets my leftovers or crumbs. How exactly could I be intentional about how I live my daily life so the light of Jesus shines in this dark world where there's so much confusion and chaos? How can I specifically pursue God with the intent of having godly influence in the lives of those I love and know? Or am I caught up in the temporal or the time wasters or even the necessary busyness of life, so I just put God in the corner? I simply cannot add another thing to my plate and pursue God's heart. Well, so those are some serious questions about how I guide my choices. Of course, we're not talking about perfectly pursuing God, but rather we are aware of those times when God is not most important to us. Thus, we need to remind ourselves to get back on track and pursue the heart of God no matter what is going on in our life or relationships. We don't push Him to the side or forget about Him. Instead, we want to be that person that pursues His heart continually. No matter what that looks like for us as individuals at various seasons in our life, we wake up each day and go to bed every night telling God, "You are the most important aspect of my life. You have significant value to me. Help me to continually pursue your heart in all things." And then trust Him that He has heard your prayers, and indeed He will help you to pursue His heart, His wisdom, His ways, and His word. That's because you are desiring what is good in His sight. In this series, we will be going over 12 ways to pursue the heart of God in 12 weeks. I try to put out a new teaching every Wednesday afternoon for you. These teachings are easy to keep in mind to help us keep on track. It might be helpful to take some notes and memorize some of the verses. Perhaps offer a Bible study that goes through all of the 12 ways to be a woman after God's heart. You can simply listen to one of the podcasts each week and then discuss it with each other. You can encourage each other to love God's word and glean the meaning of certain verses. There can be equipping and maturing as we apply God's answers and solutions to our lives and cheer each other on. Some of the weekly sessions might include what you already know, but perhaps they are an encouraging reminder for you or for a friend. Other sessions might be a new way of how we can pursue the heart of God. This is not about a set of rules or legalistic procedures or another to-do list. Rather, it is the exciting steps we can take to live out our Christian life with impact and influence because God is guiding us. Whatever helps you to put into practice what you are learning will be beneficial for you and those around you. God's word is powerful and transforms lives always for the better. Someday, we won't be on this earth. Our life is over. It has been lived. We want to make a conscious effort to put God first, regardless of all the circumstances and trials we will encounter throughout our lifetime. Ultimately and eternally, pursuing God is what matters most of all. We wake up every day realizing we have another day to say, "Here I am, Lord, use me as you wish. I am yours." It's not about perfection in pursuing God, but rather it's about being persistent. Don't let go of God no matter what is going on in your life. The Old Testament reminds us of how God divided his people into two groups. Those who sought after him and inquired of him first, and those that did not. Which one am I? I don't have the time or the desire to pursue the heart of God. Or the one that says, I need to take the time, no matter how little that time might be during certain days, to search for God in prayer, in praise, in his word, in a Bible study, be with a godly friend, or in simply stopping and just looking at God's creation that surrounds me and taking it all in as I am aware of his awesomeness. There are so many ways we can be that person that pursues the heart of God. It's just a matter of making it a priority and then intentionally walking with God throughout our day. Let's look at three keys to get us started in pursuing the heart of God. The first key, seek God continually for his strength. Second key, remember what God has done. Third key, learn from David. First key to help us get started in pursuing the heart of God is seek God continually for his strength. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Continually actually means daily. This verse is a reminder to daily go to God and ask for his strength to wisely deal with whatever is going on in our life and relationships. Doing what we should is hard, and we can weaken under the pressure, the stress, the busyness of daily life, or especially during trials and hardships. Therefore, this verse declares how vital it is that we maintain a continual walk with God every day as we realize we always need the strength of his help. Regardless of how many times we ask God for his strength, he hears us every single time. He never wearies of us asking him for help. He will answer us in his way and in his timing. In the meantime, we just keep asking and trusting. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Luke 18, verse 1. Now Jesus was telling them a parable to show them at all times they ought to pray and not become discouraged. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So praying continually, praying daily, means having a prayerful attitude by acknowledging our dependence on God because we need his strength to help us be faithful in his ways. Second key to help us get started in pursuing the heart of God is remember what God has done. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 12, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. This verse tells us to keep in our minds the wonderful things God has already done, to never forget his marvelous works. By remembering God's past acts and blessings in our lives or the lives of others, we find reassurance that God is at work even when we don't see it or understand what is going on in the present. God understands, and that's what we need to understand. In this way, we are going after God's heart as we acknowledge he always does what is necessary because he sees the bigger picture of what is best for all eternity. A theme throughout Scripture is for believers to recall and reflect on God's many attributes, such as his wisdom, his power, and his faithfulness in what he has done. Also, when remembering God's judgments that come from his mouth, his word, the Scriptures, we remember him as the one and only righteous judge. When we recall his sovereign ways in all situations, then we are a person that pursues the heart of God instead of our own mind that wants to understand why God does or doesn't do something. Pursuing the heart of God is trusting in the heart of God because we remember the powerful, marvelous things he has done in the Old and New Testament, and also in our own lives and the lives of others. Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? Psalm 106, verse 21. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known, the wonderful works of God, to your children and your children's children. Third key to help us get started in pursuing the heart of God is learn from David. How could King David possibly be called a man after God's own heart with the many grievous sins he committed in his lifetime? The tragic story of David and Bathsheba is well known in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 17. Bathsheba was the wife of Uriah, a trusted soldier in David's army. While Uriah was faithfully away at war, David saw and lusted after Uriah's wife and committed adultery with Bathsheba. David knew she was Uriah's wife, but he still chose to willingly rebel against God's command to not commit adultery. When Bathsheba found out she was pregnant, and she could only be pregnant by David because her husband was away at war, she told David of her pregnancy. Rather than repent in that moment, David added to his rebellion against God's ways. He went so far as to order that Uriah, his trusted and faithful soldier, be placed on the front lines of the battlefield to be abandoned by his fellow soldiers and killed by the enemy, all at David's command. So David was a murderer. King David had many wives, according to the Bible, although only 8 of them are named. He was a polygamist, which was against God's known design for marriage. One wife and one husband, and David was well aware of this. Polygamy was not what every man did during those times. Only some of them did. Plenty of men did not participate in polygamy. David knew the law of God regarding marriage, but he didn't follow this law. He and his family greatly suffered over the years for his decision to not honor marriage as God intended him to. It was a horrible example to his own children and the people he ruled over and those who did not believe in his God, but instead the false gods. David also struggled with anger and revenge, as seen in his response to Nabal, Abigail's foolish husband, in 1 Samuel 25. David wanted to kill Nabal and his servants after Nabal insulted David's men and refused to help them. But still, God states that even with all those sinful choices, David was a man after his own heart. David was a man after God's heart. Acts 13, verse 22, God is quoted from the Old Testament. I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. David pursued God's heart no matter how he failed in sinning against God. He still went after God. He loved and valued the same things God did, even though he stumbled and sinned greatly in his lifetime. His mistakes did not stop him from always going back to God and pursuing the heart of God, even in his sin. It would have been far better for him and those around him if he wouldn't have given in to the temptations to rebel against God. He paid a tremendous price with severe consequences, even though God forgave him. So let's go back to the question. Why would God say that David was a man after his own heart after all the sins he willingly committed against God? Well, let's look at what qualified David through the eyes of God. It was because of the core of who David was, because of his fundamental characteristics to always go back to God, to get it right with God, and lay out his heart to God regardless of the circumstances. He was faithful to God despite all his wrongs, all his sin, all his rebellion. This is because his sins didn't stop his goal from going right back to seeking God's heart, pursuing God's wisdom, remembering once again God's ways. It doesn't mean he always did this. As a matter of fact, he greatly failed at this during certain times. But the main point is, he went back to what he knew was right and true and just in the eyes of God. He never gave up on seeking after God's heart, no matter what was going on in his life, the good times and the bad times. Regardless, David was totally honest with God about his thoughts, feelings, desires, motives, and his failures. God didn't call David a man after his own heart because he had a perfect walk with God. Rather, it was about David pursuing God's perfect heart throughout his entire life. He never stopped doing this. What made David different was that his heart never gave up on the goodness of God's heart, and he knew God would never give up on him. Just a note, because David displeased God with his rebellion and God still stated he was a man after God's own heart doesn't mean we should follow the rebellious, sinful part of David's life. We want to learn from him by not making choices that displease God and thus bring hard consequences on ourselves. We are forgiven, but sometimes we still must reap what we have sown, which is rebellion that brings hardships. We want to be a woman after God's own heart that doesn't have to learn the hard way like David did. Therefore, we don't follow David's example of sinning against God. Rather, we follow God's word in not sinning while we pursue God's heart in all things. So don't do the bad David did, but do the good. Have a heart that goes after God's word, his wisdom, and his ways, and do your best to follow that. If you stumble and fall, ask for forgiveness and get back up pursuing God's heart. This doesn't mean we will live a perfectly sinless life. We will all stumble and sin in various ways, whether it be through pride, anger, being unkind, impatient, whatever it looks like. But we get back up and get going with pursuing God's heart. We don't stay stuck in our sin or even our too busyness to pursue God. Let's look at some of the characteristics of David's life and therefore why God called him a man after his own heart. First, he had absolute faith in God. 1 Samuel 17 tells us of a young shepherd boy who fearlessly slew the giant Goliath because he knew he couldn't, but had faith that God could. 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to him, "Well, go, and the Lord be with you." David fully acknowledged that God was sovereign. He was in control of his life, and therefore he had faith that God would deliver him. He couldn't deliver himself as a young boy who had never gone into battle, but he had faith that God surely could and would. All those years David was a shepherd, he had learned to trust God to help him slay lions and bears so he could protect his father's sheep. The key here is that David's faith pleased God, and God rewarded him for his faithfulness in doing the hard things because he had faith in God alone. Hebrews 11, verse 6, it's impossible to please God without faith. The second reason God saw David was a man after his own heart is because he absolutely loved God's law. Psalm 119, verses 47 through 48, "For I delight in your commands because I love them. I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love. I meditate on your decrees." Writing at different and often troubling times in his life, David continually mentioned how much he loved God's perfect word. It's very clear in the book of Psalms how David had complete adoration for God's word, but he doesn't stop there. He also meditates and continually thinks about what God's word says. Therefore, God granted David wisdom through his daily meditation on God's word. So here we see, through the life of David, a man after God's own heart. We would also do well to not only read God's word, but to also continually think about it throughout our day. God loves it when we do this. The third reason God said David was a man after his own heart is because David was truly thankful to God. Psalm 100, verse 4, David said, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." David's life was full of times with abundant tranquility and fortune, as well as many times of dread and hopelessness. Through it all, he thanked God for it all. This is one of the characteristics of David that greatly pleased God. We can't have a heart after God if we don't take note of all his continual blessings and then be thankful to him for all of them throughout our life. Here's portions of a psalm of David, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And bless means to be in awe of God, to hold him in the highest regard because of who he is and all that he does. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits, who pardons all your guilt, who heals all your diseases. Now, this doesn't mean physical diseases. Many times it means restoring a person spiritually, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with favor and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our guilty deeds. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our wrongdoings from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our form. He is mindful that we are nothing but dust. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting for those who fear him. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, my soul. So we can see in just this one psalm that indeed David was a man that had obviously gone after God's heart, pursued his word, his ways, and his wisdom. He couldn't have known all those things he declared if he didn't have a heart that continually pursued knowing God's heart. And thus, this is why he was so incredibly thankful to God for who God was, God's character. And David was thankful for all God did. David took note of it. He kept those things close to his heart all the days of his life. He died holding on to the heart of God. He never let go. The fourth reason God said David was a man after his own heart is because David was truly repentant after he sinned. 2 Samuel 11, verses 2 through 5. Now at evening time, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent his servants and inquired about the woman. And someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and had her brought. And when she came to him, he slept with her. And when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house. But the woman conceived. So she sent word and informed David and said, "I am pregnant." Well, first, David acknowledged his sin against God. 2 Samuel 12, 13, David said to Nathan, "I've sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die." But secondly, David understood acknowledging sins and asking for forgiveness was only half of what needed to be done in order to be a man after God's own heart. The other vital half is to have godly repentance, which David did. Acknowledge sin, ask for forgiveness, but also have godly repentance and godly sorrow over the sins that grieve God. Psalm 51 gives great detail about David's heart after he offended God with his sins. A portion of this psalm that shows a heart of repentance with godly sorrow is, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your faithfulness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Wipe out my wrongdoings, wash me thoroughly from my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my wrongdoings, and my sin is constantly before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Cleanse me, and I will be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." David did not minimize his choices that were rebellious and sinful. He did not rationalize why he did what was against God. He didn't blame anyone but himself. And he didn't deny that he indeed had not surrendered to God's commands. When we continue to read the story of David, even though he repented and had godly sorrow, his choices still negatively affected his own children. Sin doesn't just hurt us. It can deeply hurt the innocent people that we love and should be an example to. But a person after God's own heart will never stop pursuing God no matter what. Nothing stops them. They continually and constantly go after God. They run toward him instead of away from him. They don't push him aside because of sins. David is a role model to all of us regarding continually pursuing the heart of God, no matter how many times we fall and fail in our lives. David never gave up on his close and intimate walk with God. David's life is also a powerful story of how faithful God is when we continually cry out to him for his help and his strength to live a life that will please him. David's story is not our story, but nonetheless, we can learn from his story. God has our own individual story he desires us to walk in as we pursue being a woman after God's own heart. So obviously, talking about David's great sins doesn't mean that we don't recognize that we get too busy or too stressed, or we forget God in our daily life. We can still have this pursuing heart after God when we realize a day has gone by, a week has gone by, a month has gone by, and I haven't even talked to God at all. Okay, we get right back up and pursue the heart of God. Let's recap the three keys to get us started in pursuing the heart of God. First key, seek God continually for his strength. Second key, remember what God has done. Third key, learn from David. First, he had absolute faith in God. Second, he absolutely loved God's law. Third, he was truly thankful to God. Fourth, he was truly repentant for his sins. A woman that pursues God's heart is not a woman who is perfect. Rather, she loves the perfect Word of God and therefore puts herself on a godly path each day. I hope you will continue to listen to all 12 sessions of A Woman After God's Own Heart and be greatly encouraged by them. Let's continually keep God in our lives, no matter what's going on in our lives. It's not about the amount of time, but rather just take some time to get to know the heart of God. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe and share with others. And if you would consider leaving a review so others can know and love God's Word, that would be great. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever.